God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, speaking again today about power through weakness. Yesterday, I read part of a letter from a lady whose husband was suffering some sort of an addiction. And, of course, she had been praying and praying and praying that the Lord would take it away and deliver him, and the Lord had not done that. And she said at the end of her letter, "I need to know how to pray and what God expects from me, why He won't take away the hurt and the worry. I know only God can change my husband, but yet I keep trying. How do I turn this over completely?" And once again, I have to say, we do not know the answers, and God is not asking us to understand. He is asking us to trust Him. Does God really know what He's doing? Does the Lord of the universe ever make mistakes? Did He not hear your prayer? Does He like your husband's addiction? I think you know the answers to all of those questions. And yet, of course, we would like much further explanation than God gives us. And He says, "My grace is all you need." For power comes to its full strength through weakness. So, in answer to the lady's question, I need to know how to pray. Pray that the Lord will teach you to rest trustfully in Him, to abide in Him, and to leave all the unanswered questions with Him. And pray, of course. It's reasonable. It's right that we should make our requests known to God. We've been told to. But we cannot expect that God is going to give us explanations about His delay or perhaps about His answer, which might be no. And very often, our prayers are answered with that one little word, no. One of the blessings of maturity is the realization of an acceptance of limitations. Immaturity refuses to acknowledge the inevitableness of life, the necessity of sacrifice, relinquishment, what some old writers used to call holy abjection or detachment. Holy abjection is similar to poverty of spirit. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." We're not asking for too much. The long, hard lessons in God's curriculum. But one of them was learned by Paul through that mysterious thorn. And I read you a poem yesterday about that thorn. It doesn't seem like a good gift. And yet Paul recognized it as a very good gift because it was through that he learned the priceless lesson which has been taught to millions of Christians ever since. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's a tough lesson, isn't it? And it's one that we have to learn over and over and over again. We would have been deprived of one of the deepest and highest spiritual revelations if it hadn't been for Paul's experience of a thorn. And have you ever thought about the possibility that your experience of some kind of thorn may be God's way of blessing somebody else? Think about that. It's amazing, isn't it? We've been blessed by Paul's testimony. Oh, yes, we say, but he was the Apostle Paul. But don't forget, God created you. God put you where you are. God allowed the things which have happened in your life, which have upset you. It might very well be that it is in order that you may bless someone else and bring power to them through your own weakness. These are tough lessons, of course. but we can't have it all our way. It's Christ in every moment, Christ in me, Christ in my circumstances. When I pray, give us this day our daily bread, I don't know what may be on God's platter for me. I don't even think of daily bread primarily when I pray as food, literal physical food. Most of us are not really worried about whether we're going to have any bread at all today. But I think of it as everything that He gives me, including my food. But the trials, the tribulations, the disappointments, the responsibilities, the work, the surprises, these are all daily bread. And He is bread from heaven, giving Himself to us and for us. And what can I do for Him? I, in turn, present my body as a living sacrifice. In the beautiful hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, it has this stanza where the whole realm of nature, mine, that were a present far too small. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Nothing less than my body as a living sacrifice. I have a dear friend who is single. She's been through tremendous physical suffering over many, many years. And she writes me letters every once in a while, sort of chronicling her pathway of suffering. Here's her most recent. I've decided our lives are really not made up of great moments, just little consistent breaths of God's hand upon us. Grace, 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 abounding everywhere. So close sometimes, at least to me, that I get spooked just taking a breath, putting one foot in front of the other, watching mature lovers embrace, holding a child. Do we realize how poignant and real and close God is to us? How much closer can one get than within? Anyway, she says, I waddled into church yesterday, trying to silently slip into a corner where no one would notice my presence. Although I enjoy the meeting of people and fellowship, when the aim of my heart is so insidious toward the silent, still altar, it is at times all for me, just to keep my face about me in conversation, just so I can get away and be alone. Yet my hurrying did not make my noticing all the women and their babies any less. I couldn't help but wish and long for that hope deferred. And so, walking away, thinking in my heart's mind, of course, that life coming from life, women giving birth, and how utterly real that makes their course, I muttered in my heart, but God, when do I get to bring some life out of this life? And as clear as a bell, it came. It is, my child, my set of eyes that you must use in order to see. And who is to say that I have not already drawn life out of life from you? By whose definition are you seeing things? And who is to say that your life has not already birthed new life in someone's heart, in someone's glimmer of who I really am? Do not concern yourself with such trivial and shallow definitions of what appears to be life on the surface, for my purposes are so much greater than all the noblest and faithful plans of man, that to contain myself and my purpose for human history and life in such simple ways is to limit my hands and is trying to put out an unquenchable flame. So, if it's life coming from life that concerns you so, will you trust me enough to slay this life that is in you now, so that I can keep you in peace, and that your life will satisfy my desire for you? Yes, Lord, she says, and then her letter ends with, cool, hey. Thanks, Liz, for that testimony. We can't have it all our own way. Think of Johnny Erickson Tada. You all know about Johnny Erickson Tada, a woman who has been tremendously used by God in her weakness, paralyzed ever since she was 16 years old when she dove into shallow water and broke her neck. She has been permitted by God to suffer. And all the prayers and all the anointings that have been given to her by people all over the world that God would heal her, they have not, up to date, availed. God's answer has been a kind, loving, and unequivocal no. Could God have prevented the accident? He could have. He did not. He is a sovereign God. And Evelyn Underhill writes, "This realization of dependence is saved from the limp passivity of quietism by the fact that divine action is always felt to deepen and to energize the self's action, transform, absorb, and use it, rather than abolish it. Divine action is always felt to deepen and energize the self's action, our action, in other words. And God's action can transform, absorb, and use our feeble little actions, our weaknesses, in ways beyond our imagining. My grace, he says, is all you need."
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.